Just to reemphasize that, because I think that's very important, because what you're referring to is that at the tent, Moses' tent, it says, the presence of Jehovah, the pillar of cloud, descended and stood at the entrance of the tent, which meant that the presence of Jehovah there was given credence to the action that Moses took to be decisive concerning the rights of God, that there could be nothing idolatrous that could be entertained. There has to be absolute separation from idolatry, and there must be a system of things that is suited to God. And so where the presence of God can now come in and give credence to it.
So we will be clear and blunt. What happened at the camp was a religious activity in the name of Jehovah that has nothing to do with the Lord. We are talking about a sphere where the name of the Lord is used by people who are calling themselves Christian. And in the very act, by words and by action, they deny the Lord that bought them. Around us, there is that system of things. And the believer must be able to discern what's going on around him. And how do you do that? By reading the Word of God. Find the instruction in the Word of God. Moses realized that he could not be part of that. And the writer to the Hebrews tells us to go outside the camp unto him. And that is the key thing. Is not going outside the camp to make another camp, but going outside the camp unto him. Who was outside the camp was Moses. Who was outside the camp was the Lord talking with Moses. And that is the place where every believer have to separate from all of the facade that is having the title of the Lord on it without really the Lord in it at all.
So we need to move into the last section. We only have about 12 minutes, so we can just sum this up that Joshua learned to appreciate the presence of the Lord. And he did that, as it says in verse 11, this son of Nun, a young man. So it's a very important lesson we need to learn early, the value of the presence of the Lord, and to distinguish where his presence is. Because it's not all what we think. Sometimes we think pep rallies and excitement and something novel is where the presence of the Lord would be. And that's often where he is not. So let us turn to the last section, if we may. In Numbers 14, we have the spies have now looked at the land. And I want you to consider that from Exodus 17 to Numbers 14, we are covering the first year in the wilderness. Just 1 year, around 1 year. That's all that's passed between these passages. A whole year, approximately. That's all. So now they're about to go into the land as God had intended for them. And they sent 12 spies. And they came back with a report. And we see Joshua making a public stand, not a popular one. And he gives, as we read in chapter 14 of Numbers, verses 6 through 9, along with Caleb, they give an accurate description. And a description that is mingled with faith because they believed what God had said he would do for them going into the land. So we see a display in a young age, Joshua, willing to take a public stand, although he's a minority in those that testified, an unpopular public stand, and that's a lesson to learn as well. We're not going to be popular if we stand for the truth, and we may be in the minority. In fact, we usually are. People don't want to hear the truth. The truth is set aside for other purposes. But if one stands for the truth with faith, God will honor them. And we'll see in this occasion Joshua and Caleb together showing forth great faith.
see too that the spirit that was in the people in chapter 32 hasn't changed. They still have the same spirit, the same attitude, and the outcome of this, of their response, was they wanted to go back to Egypt. So they would prefer living in the slavery that God had delivered them from. And so we see here there was only a few. Caleb, Joshua, Moses. I don't know how far Aaron was in his own experience, but there was very few who were really desirous of being in the place where God had promised.
And I'm wondering if in terms of being able to say the right thing, because Joshua said the right thing, Caleb said the right thing, but it is more than saying the right thing. Is it not that the land itself had become impressed upon their own affections, their own souls, that what they had seen was the richness of divine provision, and it had touched their innermost beings, that they became connected with what they saw. And that's why they could urge on those other spies who were rejecting what there was. So the matter of the land being in you as part and parcel is essential for the appreciation of things.
And what is the land? We could say that the land is the place of our heavenly blessings that already God has promised, and we can enjoy them already now. For the Christians, we would say that Christians, we are in the wilderness, as that's an aspect of our Christian life, living in a world where there's nothing that satisfies us. But Christians are also living in the promised land, in the place where God has promised all kinds of blessings, every one that satisfies us. And just to build on what was said about the land, verse 7 of Numbers 14 says this: the land is exceedingly good. And if we're not, could I say, if we're not enjoying being believers, if we don't understand what it means, why another Christian is so joyful, it might be we just don't appreciate how good this land is. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says this is such a great salvation. It includes all these blessings, the blessing of sins forgiven. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one who knows the promises of the Lord, who says, I will come again. The one who says the Lord was working with them even after he ascended into heaven, it says at the end of Mark's gospel. And all of these other things that are part of what a believer can enjoy: being justified, being sanctified, being children of God who acts towards us as a father, one who disciplines, one who teaches, one who provides. All of these things are these blessings that they appreciated in their circumstance. The land that God promised. The promises of God are tremendous. And also, we must say in verse 8, they knew the Lord delighted in them. And verse 9, the Lord is with them. This is what it means to live by faith. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that the one who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. He's the blessing God. He's the one who rewards those who diligently seek him. And so Joshua and Caleb are saying, the Lord is with us. He's here. He knows what we're facing. He's with us. He hasn't left us here. He didn't bring us this far, an old Christian song used to say, to leave us. He didn't bring us out this far to take us back again. And also, he delights in us. So when it says, if the Lord delights in us, it means like since. Since he delights in us, he wants us to have this land. He's not sitting back just chuckling at the difficulties that we're facing and going to see what we do. He delights in us. It's the land that he wants to give us. And this is the Christian life of power. It's the life that a young man like Joshua learns to acknowledge who God is, his authority, and also to delight in who God is in that relationship.